Sports Hub Headlines.
NHL trading deadline today at 3 o'clock. Bruins, of course, acquired Rick Nash yesterday from the Rangers. Nash debuted for the Bees last night. They lost in Buffalo 4-1. Bruins will host the Hurricanes tomorrow night. There have been some moves in the league. The Blackhawks dealt winger Ryan Hartman and a pick to the Predators for a couple picks, including a 2018 first-rounder and a player. Blues acquired a first-round pick, fourth-round pick, and prospect Eric Foley from Winnipeg in exchange for Paul Stastny. J.D. Martinez officially announced as a Red Sox at a press conference this morning. Red Sox and agent Scott Boras reworked the contract language due to the Sox long-term concerns with Martinez's right foot. The deal is still for 5 years, $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. Here's Martinez on the environment at Fenway.
That's kind of, you know, with talking to Alex and stuff like that about going out there every day, and it's almost like football has Monday night. They say in Fenway, it's every night's like Monday night football over there. So I'm excited. You know, I love this game. I love to play. To play in front of fans that are just as passionate and that love it just as much is exciting.
Couple of notes for the Patriots over the weekend. Brandon Bolden agreed to a one-year deal to stay. Dante Scarnecchia will also reportedly return to the Pats for the 2018 season. In other NFL news, according to Ian Rappaport, the Vikings are not expected to franchise tag quarterback Case Keenum, setting up Keenum to hit free agency. The C's are 2-0 since returning from the All-Star break, beating the Pistons and the Knicks on the road. They'll be back home tonight hosting the Grizzlies. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max will start at 7 o'clock. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage, business, and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Nick Adelsick. Headlines coming up at 1:30.
Like what you hear?
It's simple. It's natural.
Like 98.5 The Sports Hub on Facebook. And continue the conversation on your favorite sports stories.
We're all compelled to do it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kettles know this one? Yes, I do, smartass.
He didn't know Cheap Trick Surrender. Yeah.
All right, Cheap Trick Surrender is not like one of the greatest songs of all time, Hardy. The love of God.
Oh, boy.
You're acting like it's like a well-known song. Like
it is.
Everybody, for you, it is.
It
yes,
is.
For,
it is.
For you, it is.
You,
yes.
ever seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yes.
Like Damone sings the song.
Great, 15, 20 years ago. Like, I remember that off the top of my head.
Damone sings it when he was trying to pimp the Cheap Trick tickets. Mama's all right, the dream police. You should have known.
Should have known,
yep.
Nick. You should have known.
Yep, you blew it.
Should have known
you
that.
Blew it! You blew it.
You blew it!
All ruined because of you. Ruined. 617-779-0985. Hardy in for Zoe today, who is continuing his vacation. Cattles doing updates for Hardy. So Brandon Cooks is one or the other. Cut him or extend him in the world of Ben Volen. I would be, if you had to pick one, I would be in the camp of extending him. But if I'm Brandon Cooks, I don't know why I would do that. I'd be like, yeah, just pay me. That's cool. Take my 8.459, and then when we get to the end of the year, I can hit the market, and you can either pay me more, and I'll stay. For him, I don't know that it makes a ton of sense to do an extension, unless there's a lot more. By the way,
guaranteed
soon
money.
As the league year hits, this money's guaranteed.
So as long as he is there, he's going to make $8.5 million guaranteed.
Yes.
So you don't think he would sign a, I'll just throw it out there, three-year $20 million deal that has $12 million guaranteed?
For an extra $4 million? No, because he could hit the market and get next year and get another $8 or $9 million guaranteed.
You want the free agent receivers next year where you would rank him?
Okay,
I want to know where you'd rank him.
All right.
You got Stephon Diggs, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks.
Those are good players.
Cooks fifth out of those five.
Even behind Diggs?
I was going to say Diggs. I don't know that I would consider him ahead of.
He's fourth, probably.
Does Diggs have Tom Brady as his quarterback? Yeah. I mean, Diggs has had to deal with three different quarterbacks the last 2 years. Diggs was really good this season with Case Keenum. I think you put Diggs in a really good offense with a really good quarterback. It's debatable.
Okay, we'll just call him fourth for the sake of the argument.
But I would pick Diggs because I think Diggs can do more than Cooks.
But, Jim, to say that he's fourth isn't a knock. You know, rising tides raise all the boats, my friend. There's a lot of money being tossed around for receivers in the free agent market. If you're in a good class, you can get helped by that even if you're not the top guy.
You got some older guys, too. Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Golden Tate, but... The first guys I mentioned were like the younger
Golden Tate.
So
I like Golden Tate.
Yeah, having names like that out there does increase the volume of guys available. So at that point, no, you're right. You start driving down cost a little bit.
I mean, if I'm Cooks, I look at what I'd be making the next 2 years. Right, that's what you would have to look at. I'm going to make, if I sit and wait, I make $8.5 million guaranteed this year. And then if I sign another deal, I think I can make $15 to $20 million guaranteed. So Cooks is probably looking at $25 to $30 million. He's probably looking at $25 to $30 million guaranteed over the next 3 years if he plays through next season healthy. So if you're the Patriots, I think you'd have to offer him, you know, $23 to $26 million before he even thinks about sitting down and having that conversation.
I don't know that it would take that much. I'm sure he wants that much. And Beadle makes a great point. As soon as he sets on the field and the season starts, he's going to make that $8.5 million.
Right.
So he might be willing to go and take that $8.5 million. But I don't know that it would take that much to sign him to 3 more years right now.
Do you guys want to talk to Ben Volen himself?
Yes.
Ben Volen on Zolak and Bertrand with Hardy and Cattles. That's coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Oh, God, Volen. Call now, damn it. He says, let me down half of my sandwich first. I'll call it 120. What? Call now. We need you now. Teased it, and now he's not here. Damn it. Damn it, Volen. He'll be with us in a moment.
What's so pressing with the rest of his day that he's got to eat a sandwich before he calls in?
Eat it after.
Seriously.
Eat it after.
Just for that, I'm going to call him Mittens when he calls in. Not even my nickname for him, and it still doesn't make sense. But just for that, I'm going to call him Mittens. Did Zoe ever explain why he started calling him Mittens?
No.
I think it's a Christmas Story reference. I think he reminds him of, not Ralphie, but...
Is it Kevin?
No, little brother. Randy.
Randy. That's it. Randy.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Ben, how is the sandwich?
Good. Cuddy's in Brookline. You can never go wrong from there.
Nice.
Really? Good to know.
What's up, Mittens?
Hey, so why does they call you Mittens? Have you been figured this out yet? What's the deal?
Yeah, from what I've seen, it's because I'm... It's rather crude. I'm a special needs child who needs to clip my mittens to my jacket because otherwise I'm going to lose it.
No.
That doesn't sound
no.
right.
No, it's Randy from A Christmas Story who is... look, Ben, are you of average height or are you slightly below average height for a grown American male?
5'7" is probably below average.
Yeah, slightly below average.
So he thinks of someone smallish. He thinks of Randy from A Christmas Story, and he's got the mittens on when he falls over and can't get out of the snowbank. That's all. Don't read more into it than that's already there.
That's what I saw on something, message board something.
That's oh, stop it with a message board.
Message board, please.
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 Don't do that.
All right, so what's up? What's going on?
I'm once again amazed at how I'm able to just make Boston absolutely flip out over something that I think is, I mean, it's an opinion, which I think I researched fairly well. And, you know, I'm not calling for the guy's head. I just did a little research and I've watched Brandon Cooks play. And once again, Boston has flipped out over an opinion that maybe goes against the grain a little bit.
Okay, here's my question. If they were to cut him, what would they then do? Don't they sort of need the guy? Don't they need him and his services?
I think they could use him. Like, I think they can get something out of him, and they got a good season, relatively speaking. You know, they got some stats out of him this year. Two things. First of all, when you guys are talking about cutting him, obviously there's a replacement on the way too. You don't just have to have a hole in your lineup, so you can replace him any number of ways with that $8.5 million that you've just saved. I think that Philip Dorsett is possibly someone who could fill a similar role, a similar type of skill set. And even though Tom Brady didn't look his way this year, like, Philip Dorsett had moments where he was open. It's not just on him that he didn't put up stats this year necessarily. And I will absolutely admit that I goofed in my article. I had a brain fart and I didn't address the possibility of a trade. I absolutely should have said that they should look to trade Brandon Cooks, because then obviously you're getting something in return, whether it's a third or a fourth round pick. I hate that this has become Ben bashing Brandon Cooks, because that's not what I'm trying to do here.
That was Cattles. Cattles said that.
Well, you did say you'd cut a 24-year-old wide receiver.
I mean, all over Twitter. It's people on your side, Nick, become so entrenched and so dug in about how dumb I am that it makes you, like, root all of a sudden that you're rooting for Brandon Cooks to get cut just so that you're right. I mean, this is nothing personal. I just watched him for 19 games this year. I thought his stats were a lot of empty stats. The thing I looked to is on third down. He was atrocious on third down. I posted this on Twitter yesterday. Of 124 receivers, tight ends, and running backs, he ranked 121st in terms of how often he caught the ball on third down. 7 out of 26. Just absolutely brutal percentage. And I want players who are more physical, who are going to pick up key third downs, fight for the football. Guys like Danny Amendola, who you know are going to come up in big situations. And yes, I understand that Cooks put up 1,000 yards, but to me it was just some empty stats. I liken him to Dave Kingman, 40 home runs and bats .237. And I would just rather have more consistent players on my team, and I think that $8.5 million can be better spent.
Well, I think people would argue on the other side that the fact that he played, 90-some-odd percent of the snaps this year and didn't miss a single practice and was there for Brady. I mean, we can sit there and talk about Amendola all we want, but we have to understand, Ben, that Amendola plays 40% of the snaps. So, yes, he's a nice player that'll never make it through 16 games. So that's the first thing. I'd also say that you want to go against the stats in some cases, but use the stats for your argument in other cases. I watched him play, and I would love to hear from you. What is this team last year, this season, if Cooks was not on this team? Without Amendola playing 40%, with Mitchell out, with Edelman out, with Hogan missing, 7-8 games, whatever it was, what does this offense look like without Cooks? Do they win 13 games? Do they win 11 games? Do they win 10 games?
I mean, that's impossible to quantify, Mr. Cattles. However, I will say,
okay, Mr. Vaughn,
how important was Brandon Cooks to this offense? Look at the second Miami game down in Miami. You don't have Rob Gronkowski in the lineup, and the offense completely grinded to a halt. Brandon Cooks was non-existent, and this is a guy that you gave up a first-round pick for, and you're counting on to be an alpha, and you know, can't fight off the jam at the line of scrimmage, isn't a very physical player. Everyone talks about the Jacksonville game. Of course, sure, 6 for 100. I mean, of course that's good. But A.J. Bouye was also giving him 10-yard cushions at the line of scrimmage for some reason. The New Orleans game, Marshawn Lattimore, the rookie corner playing in the second game, completely eliminated Brandon Cooks.
Right.
And you can't completely eliminate a good receiver. You can't just take a good receiver out of a game. I think if you look at the Patriots receiving core last year, Cooks was your third or fourth option.
So Ben, here's the thing.
And you're going to spend more than what Edelman and Hogan are making, you're going to give to Brandon Cooks, who's like your fourth option?
Okay, so here's the thing. To say that Cooks has flaws is obvious to everyone.
Obvious if you read my mentions on Twitter.
Well, I mean, mentions on Twitter. I'd waste a lot of time if I read my mentions on Twitter. I look at you know, I look at, you know, guys and say, all right, he has flaws, right? He has flaws. I'm right with you, Ben, when you talk about him as a player, when it comes to not playing physical. He didn't finish a number of his routes this year, especially deep routes, all those things. I agree with that stuff. I just disagree vehemently that the solution is to cut the guy. Because I think to cut him, when he's 24 years old, he played in an offensive system that was not the system. In my eyes, this was not the offense that they were going to run with Cooks. They had to change some things because a lot of the guys that run underneath and intermediate routes, that's what they would be doing while Cooks was brought in to beat teams deep and beat them outside the numbers. They had to fit Cooks into a different-looking offense because a lot of the other weapons that were supposed to complement Cooks were gone. So I just think, you know, to cut the guy is a reach. And I would imagine now, hindsight 2020, looking back, not including a trade in your column, you'd probably say cutting him is a little bit rash, right? It's a little bit much?
No, I disagree. They have a prime opportunity with his contract. They can get out of it with zero cash penalty, zero cap penalty. They can wash their hands of him clean, no problem. That $8.5 million can be spent on several players. I mean, who knows how they could spend that money. I think if you're looking at their lineup, he's, again, you have Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, you can bring back Amendola, you still have Chris Hogan, James White is in the fold, Kenny Britt's in the fold, Philip Dorsett.
Kenny Britt.
You have all these
Dorsett.
Other options.
Yeah, come on. Kenny Britt blows.
I mean, how can
at
you
at least admit that, Ben? Kenny Britt's not even going to be here.
Absolutely.
He sucks.
Probably not. He's probably not going to make the team. He's
and
probably
to say,
here for insurance.
And to, yeah. say Dorsett can fill the shoes of Cooks, I think, is... That's a bit much.
He's a former first-round pick. He obviously has some talent in him.
All right. Well, you told me you watched 19 games this year. You watched the games. What did you see from Dorsett that tells you that he's ready to step in and catch 60 footballs this year for the Patriots?
I don't see that, but I don't think that Brandon Cooks is going to be worth the contract that you have for him. And I think Hardy hit the nail on the head before. Because you gave up a first-round pick. Just because you gave up a first-round pick, you shouldn't be wedded. Well, we have to keep him now. That's a sunk cost. Like, forget about what happened last year. Cooks was good value. You had him at $1.5 million. Now his contract shoots up to $8.5 million. Who cares what you paid for him or what the cost was to obtain him? I think you can improve the team by using that money elsewhere.
You can,
drafting a receiver or signing someone else in free agency.
Sure.
I think you have plenty of depth at receiver right now. I know all those guys obviously have injury questions, but there aren't many players in the NFL who don't have injury questions.
You might need the money to rework a contract for Rob Gronkowski. I'm starting to come around on this whole idea.
And plenty.
My other point on this that I'm starting to walk back on, Ben, is the fact that I think Brady likes him, right? You know, go back to the Tennessee game where he had a couple of miscues and then Brady kept going to him anyway and he performed well in that game. I'm thinking, well, if Brady likes the guy, they're more inclined to keep him. Oh, wait a second. They don't care. They don't care who Brady likes as a receiver. We've seen that time and time again. They let Wes Welker go to Denver when he was Brady's favorite guy and Brady was reportedly absolutely bat-ass infuriated over that. So I don't know that that's much of a reason to keep him around either.
I mean, I disagree with you, Ben, about the wide receiver depth. You have Amendola, who's managed. He's going to be another year older. You don't know what you're going to get out of him through an entire season. You got Malcolm Mitchell's knee, which wasn't good enough to make it out there this year on the field. On top of that, he had injury questions before he even got into the league when he was drafted out of Georgia. That was the biggest question about him, was the knee. And then you have other guys, like, is Gronk going to be here? I don't know. Dwayne Allen's a waste. Martellus Bennett might not be coming back. He might want to come back, but the Patriots might look the other way. Chris Hogan is coming off of a year that he was injured an awful lot. Edelman's coming off of an ACL reconstruction. Philip Dorsett showed me nothing this year. So I just vehemently disagree with your reading of the depth at the wide receiver position. And I would say
all right, let him talk. Jesus, your monologue, and let him go.
No, that's fine.
I mean, he went for like a solid 90 seconds, 2 minutes.
He's the guest.
Like,
he called into
the
show. He's
the guest. You're here all day.
This isn't, I don't want this to be the Ben Volen hates Brandon Cooks fan club. Because, again,
it's getting close to it, Ben. It's getting close to it.
No, I'm starting to come around.
I'm just not impressed with him as a player. I mean, they obviously weren't impressed with him in New Orleans that they were willing to trade him. And, you know, you could say, well, they got a first-round pick, but he was also $1.5 million last year. So they traded a young, cheap wide receiver. And I remember talking to Bobby Hebert, and he's like, well, he's a little guy, but he doesn't really get yards after contact, which is true. And he kind of goes down at the first sight of trouble, which is true. And you wonder a little bit about his football intelligence. The Super Bowl had two perfect examples, that third and one end-around. Beetle, you said that was a weird time to call it. They had it set up perfectly. All Cooks has to do is beat that guy one-on-one to the pylon, and he's got the first down.
Oh, totally agree. I blame him, and I blame him and McDaniels for that failure on that play.
Well,
and I blame him for the way he exited the game. That was the most boneheaded thing I've ever seen. Zero awareness.
Catch the ball, get upfield. And then there was, I think it was the Tennessee game, when Brady threw incomplete to him in the end zone. Brady threw to a wide open space, and Cooks cut the other way, and it's like, I don't know, he doesn't have the football intelligence, and he doesn't have the physical skill set that I like out of a player, and especially a guy that I'm going to spend $8.5 million on. And so I just think there are other ways to spend that money, and you can find other players. And look, if you want to disagree, that's fine, but to say that I'm trolling and just out for a reaction and for everyone to flip out is just unbelievable to me. Cooks, just because he caught 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns, doesn't make him this amazing receiver.
Well, I disagree that I wouldn't cut him, and obviously you suggest that a trade could be in the works as well, but I want to give you all the credit in the world.
You went pretty long
Were you keeping track of that?
He calls into the show. You have 4 hours to talk here today. So, yes, take a breath every once in a while, Nick. I could tell you're getting all pissy about that. Take a breath every once in a while.
Make sure.
And let the guy who called into the show speak. Maybe more than... This is going to sound crazy.
Boy.
Maybe more than you speak on the phone.
It's called a back and forth. So
I want not much with you. It tends to be more about you, and that's okay for the most part. We're fine with that, but he called into the show.
I'm sure Ben loves being on the phone while you're pontificating.
You just brought it up. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to talk about it later?
It was a quick joke.
We can talk about it at both.
They could have just capped it up quick. I mean, it was a quick
joke. Well, it's not a joke in that you need to come up for air every once in a while, especially when there's a guy on the phone who called into the show.
Did a good job.
That's not a joke.
I want to give you credit for bringing up something that nobody was talking about, and that is the contract status of Brandon Cooks. There is no way the Patriots like this number, and I don't think this was on anybody's radar until you wrote it, so way to go.
Well, thank you, and you're welcome for giving you free radio content.
Thank you.
It's good fun.
It is good fun, and we appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you, Ben, for letting me spout off for a few minutes.
No, I'm glad you did.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben Volen of the Boston Globe here on Zolak and Bertrand. Cattles is going to get us caught up on headlines, and we'll get back to it. All righty.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Hey.
Just grabbing a sandwich.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right. Let's see if I can do this 60 seconds. The NHL trading deadline today at 3 o'clock. Bruins acquired Rick Nash from the Rangers yesterday. Nash debuted for the Bees last night as they lost in Buffalo 4-1. Bees host the Hurricanes tomorrow night. There have been some moves. Blackhawks dealt winger Ryan Hartman in a pick to the Predators for a couple of picks, including a 2018 first-rounder and a player. The Blues acquired a first-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and prospect Eric Foley from Winnipeg in exchange for Paul Stastny. J.D. Martinez officially announced as a Red Sox at a press conference this morning. Yes, finally, the Red Sox and Martinez's agent, Scott Boras, reworked the contract language due to the Sox's long-term concerns with Martinez's right foot. The deal is still for 5 years, $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. Over the weekend, Patriots signed Brandon Bolden to a one-year deal. Dante Scarnecchia will also reportedly return to the Pats for the 2018 season. Finally, C's 2-0 since the All-Star break. They'll be hosting the Grizzlies tonight. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max will start at 7 o'clock. Headlines brought to you by the Great American Franchise Expo. Meet franchise pros at the DCU Center March 3rd and 4th. First 100 attendees receive a free VR headset. Details at FranExpoUSA.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines, if Hardy allows me to do them, at 2 o'clock.
Zolak. A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Well, I'll make that 137 here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Thanks again to Ben Volen calling in today. Unsolicited, reached out, said, hey, I'm going to call in. Let's talk about this. And we are thankful for him for giving us time and coming on today to talk about it. The Brandon Cooks story is obviously on the table for things to talk about. We started off the day going over the two things that happened yesterday. Two big stories that are going on right now. That is Rick Nash to the Boston Bruins and J.D. Martinez, now a member of the Boston Red Sox. Both teams making additions in the last 24 hours. Obviously very different circumstances. Rick Nash coming to the Bruins in a trade prior to today's deadline. Anything else happened, by the way? I haven't been following along closely on the Twitter machine.
But I haven't seen any trade deadlines.
You know
stuff.
How it goes. The last hour when you go into it is always the most fierce.
Couple of minor deals.
What do you got?
Well, I mean, Ryan Hartman was dealt. Blackhawks dealt him to the Predators. Paul Stastny was dealt, so that's a name. Blues acquired a first-round pick, fourth-round pick, and prospect Eric Foley from Winnipeg in exchange for Paul Stastny. So those are the two deals that I've
now?
Seen.
He's in his 30s.
Oh, yeah, he's got to be. I'll look it up.
32.
There you go.
He's 32 years old. Yeah, I'm looking at the trade tracker, seeing if anything big is going to happen. I saw one tweet earlier today that the Bruins may have still been in on Patrick Maroon, which didn't make a lot of sense. And I think the person, I forget who it was, one of the Bruins Twitter accounts, one of the follows on Twitter. Did he go anywhere yet?
I have not seen that.
I haven't seen that anywhere.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see. Don Sweeney obviously making big, big moves here before this deadline, trying to improve the team. And as he said, which was Hardy's favorite quote of yesterday, which is the team deserved it. They
yeah,
were deserving
I mean,
of it.
A little cliche, but I think it's true. And I think he probably felt that way to some extent. Now, he wasn't going to maybe if you could, you know, inject him with some truth serum, he would admit that maybe they overpaid a little bit to get it. But that, I mean, that's what he's saying they deserve. They deserve to overpay for it a little bit based on the way, A, this team has played. And I think when you talk about the team, you're talking about the coach, too, and the coach deserved it, too. Coach has done a remarkable job with this team since he took over for Claude Julien, and I think he deserves a player like Rick Nash and somebody that can help them in what is looking more and more like not just a nice appearance in the postseason. And guys like Joe Haggerty were saying that as recently as like last week. I didn't get a chance to hear too much of Joe today on Toucher and Rich, but I don't know if his opinion has changed all that much. But I think it would be almost foolish to look at it and say, all right, they have at least a chance now for a deep playoff run. With as well as they've been playing, if you're willing to admit that it, at the very least they can, you know, get in there and win a round in the playoffs, that this could extend that. And I think that's what Sweeney was trying to accomplish, to give this team a little help in a top six forward that can help them go beyond just something beyond just a nice appearance in the postseason. Because that's kind of what it felt like beforehand. Like, yeah, they're playing well, but I don't know if they really have enough to go deep. Yeah, they could very well have enough now. No, if it's going to be a conference final, but something beyond maybe just a few wins or even a first round win. No, I think this could do it.
Also, J.D. Martinez had his press conference this morning in Fort Myers. He is now full blown member of the Boston Red Sox in camp with injury protection for what we now know as a Lisfranc injury that he dealt with at the start of last season. And I thought one of the interesting things that I saw today was that the Red Sox may be afraid of this injury, not just because it's been a chronic problem for athletes who have dealt with it or something that reoccurs, but it's something that Alan Craig dealt with before he sort of had his career fall apart. Granted, J.D. Martinez came back and obviously played well last season, so it should be less of a concern, but something that the Red Sox may have considered. And the more I think about this deal today, I'm guessing that the trade-off, right, because it's all a negotiation, the trade-off for getting more injury protection in the deal was the opt-out between years 4 and 5. And if that's what the Red Sox gave up as like a give-back, it does fall in line with something that the Red Sox were holding out from giving him on the first two and again held as a piece going into the third one. Whereas I look at the opt-outs and I think they're good for the Red Sox.
Especially the one
like,
after
year two. I
think
the opt-outs are great. I love them.
Especially after year two, because that's really the sweet spot, right? That's, you can imagine Martinez hitting well the next 2 years, wanting to get back into free agency, thinking he can make maybe another $100 million or so. And so he jumps out at that point. Once you get to year 4 and 5, now you're talking about somebody who's 34, 35, 36 years old, the DH, and you know he might want to try to hang on to that last year or two of the contract at that point. I look at the first 2 years, and I think in a perfect world, you mentioned this earlier, Beetle, in a perfect world, he rakes for 2 years, he can go back into free agency, looking for a big deal. You have concerns about that foot maybe long term. Maybe you just look at him at 32 and say, well, we don't need you right now because we can go get someone else or someone else is in the system to replace that power. That's the perfect spot for the Sox in this deal. If he walks away 2 years from now, after obviously after producing, that's all good. It's perfect.
I like the opt-outs, especially after the year two, because if you could get him on a two-year deal, you get him when he's productive. You get him if he opts out after 2 years, it's because he's played really well, and now you don't run the risk of having him when he's in later into his 30s. You got the best years of the deal. The best year when you're signing a player at this age, the best years of the deal are the early years. My issue with J.D. Martinez is not 2018 that I'm worried about.
Right.
I'm worried about 2020, 2021, 2022. It's not about 18 and 19. If you could get him for 2 years on that deal and he bolts...
Right, and if
so
he wants to opt out at that point, fine. Let him go. Let someone else pay him all that money for when he's 33, 34, 35 years old, and he's almost certainly not going to be producing at the same level. I mean, I don't think anyone expects him to be the next David Ortiz and have some of the best years of his career at the tail end. And that's the exception, not the rule.
Ready for some takeaways?
Yeah,
I am. Let's do that coming up next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, to the takeaways we go. Awaken 180 weight loss takeaway. Take your excess weight off for life. Take away your excess weight for life and visit awaken180weightloss.com. Scott Zolak on vacation still. He will be back later in the week, but that did not stop Robert Poole. You know him as Hardy. From filling in for Zoe and filling in for him, obviously, as a co-host on the show today, but literally playing the role of Scott Zolak momentarily on the show today. Joe and Revere. Joe!
Hey, guys!
Hey, Joe!
Hi, Zoe!
What's up, Joe?
Zoe, how are you? I haven't heard
good.
From you in a long time.
Yeah, it's on vacation. I'm back now, though. What's up?
I had pneumonia. That's why I couldn't call you guys.
Hey, yeah, I don't want to get infected over the phone, you know?
No. I'm feeling better.
All right.
Hey, them Bruins.
How's your bird's nest?
They're starting to play good defense, but they got to put the puck in the net. You know?
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
That's right.
All right, Joe.
You can't win 0-0.
Ha! I love you.
And
love you, man.
One quick question. So, you are the best announcer in the world.
Is that in the form of a question?
I hope they give you a nice contract. You deserve it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You're the best car in the world.
Turn up, Jim. You're the greatest. You're the greatest, though. I love him.
I love you, man.
I shut off the TV and I listen to Zoe.
I shut off my homes in the wintertime so the pipes don't freeze.
I know, I hear you.
All right.
Hey, guys, take care, all right?
All right, buddy,
love you, Joe. Love you.
I'll talk to you again.
Love you. All right, Joe.
Love you both.
Do you think Joe's still looking back at that conversation
he
had with Joe?
That was funny the first time when it happened. Now I feel kind of sad.
It's not sad, but I found it fascinating when I said, "What?" So he obviously wasn't listening when he called in.
Right.
And I said, how often does that happen? And both Jim and Tom said?
All the time.
Because people call in and say, what are you guys talking about?
What are they talking about? I want to get on the air. Okay, I'll talk about that too. Or when they call up and say they want to talk about something that's not remotely what we're talking about during that time. And
right.
They, No, no, we're talking about this right now. Oh, I can say something about that. Just because
I'm versatile. I can talk about whatever it is you're talking about.
Well, I'm glad he called in. I hope he didn't listen before or after, so he still thinks he got a chance.
I bet you're safe.
He got a chance to talk to Zoe today.
Yeah. It brightened his day.
Maybe we could have Zoe, maybe we can call Zoe at the beginning of the show tomorrow and have him on hold just in case.
How about Joe advocating for a new contract for Zoe?
Yeah.
Man, that one came out of left field.
You know, it's like his agent. Is that his agent?
Right. Like he's going to represent him now.
Renegotiate.
Extend him or release him.
Yeah. He's extended or he's cut.
Yeah, you either get rid of them all together or you give him a big extension. That's it. Can't go into that final year with that cap.
Yeah, ironically, that's been talked about. Yeah.
What do you guys have?
I forget. Oh, yeah.
press conferences.
J.D. Martinez. Well, because it was early. It was before we came on the air today, which is rare. Man, this is rare.
I want to get him ready to go work out with the team.
So, you know, what does everybody want to know? What was the holdup? This was supposed to happen last Wednesday. Here's how it started.
Discuss what the hang-up was the last few days and how that got resolved.
Well, first of all, anytime you do something like this, it's you're very thorough with all of your conversations. We also, I will say, some of it at this time of year, you're in a spot where everybody's not in one place for your physical. So JD actually did fly to Boston at one time to be checked out there because we just didn't have all the doctors here that we needed to. And then it was a matter of being in a position to for us to kind of complete the language in the contract.
Needed to complete the language.
So they had to fly him to Boston.
On Thursday.
To have him
to Boston Thursday.
Looked at here.
Well, we can... We had... first of all, anytime you...
Yeah.
That's, huh?
Yeah. Gonna give a guy 110. Gotta... Nah.
Anytime you...
wasn't sure whether or not he... He didn't have it.
I don't understand why they have to be so secretive about it. I mean, Scott Boras told us after the fact what it was. And, I mean, where's the shame in that? Coming out and say, you know what? We brought him here last week and we discovered some things injury-wise that we weren't aware of and we just wanted to check him out. And so we sent him back to Boston and we got a really good look at it to make sure that we felt okay. Why can't they just say that? There was something that came up that we weren't aware of from an injury standpoint. We wanted to get more information on it. It's completing the language. He's starting to talk like John Farrell would talk about it. Where's the shame in that? Yeah, he had a foot injury. We didn't know what kind of foot injury it was. We didn't know how bad it was. We wanted to know if this was something we needed to worry about because we're handing this guy $110 million and we want to make sure it's well spent.
So for all the
period, story over.
All the writers that are in Fort Myers who were saying essentially it's nothing, it's no big deal, like nothing to see here. It sounds like there was a little something to see there.
Well,
they
wouldn't have brought him to Fort Myers just to fly him to Boston.
Right.
I don't think that's a connector. I don't think that's a hub for the airlines down there. Route him through Fort Myers on his way to Boston.
But do you give them any credit now because everything appears to be okay?
That's what they should have been doing. The way they did it, that's the way it should be done. If there's something you're concerned about...
No. For the writers, for everyone who said there's nothing to see
here. Oh, screw those guys. Those guys suck. Are you kidding me? They couldn't ask a real question in the real press conference today because they wait until their little private one that they get off to the side. Like, what is that? What is the point of that?
I don't know.
I don't get it. No, there's nothing to see here. Nothing at all. I mean, go back and read their tweets. I think they were saying there's going to be a press conference today. I believe there is a tweet from Friday. Oh, we're going to get the press conference. The guy wasn't even there. He was in Boston. You're not getting the press conference that day. He's not even in Florida.
He's going to Skype.
Like, what?
Put him on the big screen.
No. He's at Fenway Park. He's at Mass General, Brigham, wherever. No. So, yeah, forget them.
All right, so I go with the J.D. Martinez press conference, too. I found this answer interesting when he was asked about DHing.
You know, it's baseball, really. I'm just kind of thinking about it. Just take it how I take it every game, how I've been playing this game for, since I was a kid. And continue to do the same routine I've been doing, you know, whether it's DHing or playing the outfield. You know, that was part of the, you know, part of the deal coming in, you know, is knowing that I am going to play the outfield, but I am going to DH at times too. And, you know, I just kind of just do the same thing I've been doing, really.
So that was interesting because he said that I will be playing the outfield and DHing at times. A little bit different, right? If you're going to DH 120 games or 110 games and play the outfield for 20 or 30, you'd say, well, yeah, I'm going to DH and play the outfield at times.
And play the outfield.
But his answer was, yeah, you know, I'm going to be...
DH sometimes?
Yeah, DJ at times. I'm going to DH at times.
DH at times.
Yeah. Said, hey, I'm going to play the outfield and then DH at times.
That's... Hmm.
I wouldn't... I'm going to play the outfield, but I am going to DH at times, too.
I am going to DH at times, too. So in his head, he's still thinking outfielder, right?
Huh. Yeah, maybe they haven't broken that news to him yet. JD, now that you get you, you're not going to be doing much in the outfield.
Yeah, going to DH at times.
You're going to be the DH.
Would that rub him the wrong way, though, if he were just going to be used as a DH?
$110 million. Gives a crap what rubs him and where. Whatever. Kidding me? I'll sweep the floors if you pay me. How much is he getting in year one? What's the...
23 and like three quarters
and a half
or something?
That's... Do whatever they ask you to do there, buddy boy. All of you. Everybody in that clubhouse. Pedroia, mop the floors. Okay.